Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Tzadi Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Beis. In the middle of the line, you'll notice it says, Itmar Shtei Chatzeros. Before we begin the shiur, let us glance at the side of the Gemara, where we have our nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Shnei Chatzeros, Echot Irva, in Botel. There are two courtyards. One of the two courtyards made an Eruv with the houses that opened into it, the Echod Shalo Irva, and one courtyard did not make an Eruv, the Churba Beinayim, and there is a ruin between the two courtyards. You will notice a diagram or a picture on in the Pirush Chai illustration 42, and you'll see this on page 200 in the Pirush Chai. In the middle of the page, you can see these two courtyards, and there is a ruin between them. Our note continues: Lemi yesh heter shimush b'chotzer. Who has the use of the chotzer? We will notice a marking in the Gemara where Rav Huna and Chiyo Bar Rav have a double underline, and under our Mivneh heading we feature a Machlokes Rav Huna v'Chiyo Bar Rav. There, eventually, we will see two versions of Chiyo Bar Rav, and those are highlighted with diamonds and also noted with an Aleph and Beis to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with the Ika Diamri, the second Lashon, you'll notice it's squiggle underline. There are two versions of Chiyo Bar Rav. He'ora, we want to point out here how to look at this sugya. Benisayon lehovin Chiyo Bar Rav, when we come to Chiyo Bar Rav and attempt to understand his shita, ha-Gemara mashve in yonenu, the Gemara will compare our topic, Hachurva v'tiltul mimenu l'chatzeros, the ruin and the allowance or the permission to carry from it to the courtyards. L'sukya d'li'el tzadi aleph omet aleph, to compare this back to the sukya that we had in our previous year on tzadi aleph omet aleph shitas rav, the opinion of Rav that we learned about there, shalocha k'Rabbi Shimon, where he ruled like Rabbi Shimon, the mutter l'talto mechotzer l'chotzer. Rabbi Shimon, as you may recall, held that gagos, karpifos, and chatzeros were considered one legal domain that you can carry from one to the other. The kulon rishus achas, our note says, the hu shelo irvu. This is true, provided no eruv was made between the chotzer and the houses opening into it. That's the chotzer in boteha. Assuming that there was no eruv made, so you can carry from one courtyard to the other without any fear of carrying house vessels, namely vessels that were kone shvisa, that the Shabbos set in while they were still in the houses, and during Shabbos found themselves in the chotzer, and then during Shabbos would carry one of those house vessels from one chotzer to the next, that would be usur. Well, Rav says that the heter of carrying from one courtyard to the other was only if no eruv chatzeros was made, so that that situation would not arise. So we say that Rav was precautious. He took precautionary measures. Now, that having been said, let's turn to our Gemara. Itmar shtei chatzeros v'churba achas beinahem, if two courtyards and a ruin between them, as we said, illustration 42. Achas irvo v'achas lo irvo. One of the chatzeros made an eruv with its houses, and the other chatzer did not. And in a case like that, so the chatzer that made an eruv, you will find in that chatzer house vessels that were in the houses when Shabbos set in. Omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna, and it's pointed out that he was a Talmud of Rav, he says, Nosnin osa lezu shelo irva. We give the chorba, over to the chotzer that did not make an eruv. Avol l'she'irva lo, but the chotzer that made an eruv with his houses, so we don't allow movement of kelim from the chotzer to the chorba. There, that's what lo means. We do not allow movement from the chotzer that made the eruv to the chorba. Why? Dilma osi lafuki moni debotim lechorba. We're afraid that you might move house vessels to the chorba. We glance at the Rashi. Omar Rav Huna nosnim hachorba lezu shelo irva lahotzi lo kelim shishavsu b'chotzer. We will allow the movement of vessels from the chotzer, those vessels that were shoves in the chotzer, to holo shchichi ba moni de bottom hovel irva. You're not going to find house vessels in that chotzer because no eruv was made. Avol l'shirva, but giving the use of the churba to the chotzer that made the eruv, lo, that we will not allow. The Rav Huna, Talmido de Rav Havi, Rav Huna was a student of Rav, the Omar Halach Rib Shimon, Bishelo Irvu, that the Halacha follows Rib Shimon in a case where no Eruv was made, Aval Irvu, lo. But when an Eruv was made, so we don't say that you can move from one Chotzer to the next. The Gemara continues, V'chio Barav Omar, Af L'shi Irvu. V'chio Barav says that this is what I heard from my father, the expression af l'shi'irva. But Chiyo Barav on his own interprets that ushtehen asuros. That means that in a case we have these two chatzeros and the chorba between them, and one of the chatzeros made an eruv with its houses, we don't allow even the non-Eruv chotzer to transfer vessels into the churba. Ve'im tomar shtehen mutaros, and if you try to say that af l'she'irva, that father had said, meant both chatzeros are mutar, even the chotzer that made the Eruv, mipnei ma a nosnin chotzer shelo irva lechotzer sheirva. After all, Rav made a distinction. Why would he have said back on Tzadi Aleph, Omid Aleph, that we do not give the use or the allowance of moving from chotzer to chotzer when you're dealing with a chotzer sheirva that's in the picture? After all, Rav said, "Ein nosnin chotzer shelo irva lechotzer sheirva," that you're not allowed to move from a chotzer shelo irva to a chotzer sheirva. You're not allowed to give them movement rights from one chotzer to the other. So that we see that in a case where you have a chotzer sheirva, Rav imposes restrictions. Therefore, in the case of the shtei chotzerus and the churba b'neim, if Rav said af l'shi'irva, it must have been an expression of restriction. The Gemara says, no, you can't prove, you can't argue like that. In other words, you can't conclude the explanation of af l'shi'irva as meaning shtehen asuros from that which Rav said back on Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. The difference is, hosam kevon demintari moni debotim b'chotzer, Osi la'apuke. When you have two chatzeros and there's an issue of moving from one to the other, since house vessels are considered guarded in a courtyard is a place that's not so open to damaging factors. It's a guarded place. It's a place that things can be considered watched. And as a result of that, house vessels might very well be moved from one to the other. So therefore, Rav came down with his restriction that when you have a chotzer she'irva and a chotzer shlo irva, we don't allow movement from one to the other. Because, as we said, one might end up moving house vessels from one chotzer to the other, when, of course, no eruv was made between those chatzeros. Hacha, b'churba, here when we're dealing with a ruin, kevan delo mintari moni de chotzer b'churba, since vessels of a chotzer are not watched, are not considered guarded in a churba. Churba is a ruin. It's a place where there is less guarding and items aren't secure in a churba. So lo osi lav puki. There isn't that great a fear that vessels, that house vessels would end up in a churba. Therefore, the fact that Rav is restrictive on Daf Tzadi Aleph, Omid Aleph, doesn't necessarily mean that he would be restrictive in the same way in our case of the churba between the two chatzeros. Iko di Amri, another version, this is actually an opposite version of the first. Chiyo Barav Omar, Af L'Shi'irva. Chiyo Barav, in this Loshem, in this version, says, I heard from Father that he said Af L'Shi'irva, and my interpretation is Ushtehen Mutoros, that both Chatzeros can put things into the Churba. Ve'im Tomar Shtehen Asuros, and if you'll try to explain that the Af L'Shi'irva expression really means both Chatzeros are usur in the use of the Churba, just like Rav was Machmir back on Tzadi Aleph, Omid Aleph, when we had the two Chatzeros, and one of them had made an Eruv. No, those cases are different. L'fi She'ein Noisnim Chotzer. Let's read this again. V'im Tomar Shtehen Asuros, Lefi She'ein Noisnin Chotzer Shelo Irva, Le Chotzer She'irva, and if you should try to argue, as we said, that both Chatzeros in the case of the Churba should be also based on that which Rav said back on Tzadi Aleph, but Aleph, no, there is a difference. Hossam Kevan de Mintri Moni de Boten Bechotzer, since house vessels will be considered secure in a chotzer, lo sharu behu rabbanon de osi lafuki. The rabbanon would not allow the movement from one chotzer to another when one of the chatzeros had made an eruv, because the house vessels might very well be moved to the next chotzer, because the house vessels are considered secure in such a chotzer. Aval b'churba lo mintari, but a churba is not a place of security. Therefore, there is no reason to be machmir. There is no reason to be stringent. Before we go on to the new Mishnah, it's important for us to note that Rashi, in explaining this Gemara, gets into much more detail than we explained in our Gemara explanation. And from time to time, we try to avoid getting into immense detail because of the fear of creating confusion in the context of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiur. However, there are numerous points that Rashi brings out in, we'll say, refining or sharpening the explanation for the sugya. So those of you who are accustomed to learning with Rashi ought to go over this particular sugya with the Rashi to refine certain points that we didn't explain. That having been said, let us continue with the Mishnah. We would best be served by looking at diagram 43 and also 44 before we continue with the Mishnah. So on page 200, on the lower part of the page, you'll see an illustration, 43, Gag Godol Somoch L'Kotan. We're talking about two rooftops. One is small and the other is large. And in diagram 44, you have two courtyards. One is small and one is large. And in both of these cases, the the small one opens completely into the large one. That means from the vantage point of being in the small one, there is the wall that's open is completely open into the large one. As opposed to when you're standing in the large one, you'll notice that there is something we call gipufi, where you notice the aleph, where the wall curves inwards, forming a type of passageway. That is, again, from the vantage point of standing in the large one and looking into the small one. So now the Mishnah. Gag gadol samuch l'katan, a large roof next to a small roof. Hagadol mutar v'hakatan aser. That means it's mutar for the people on the large roof to bring vessels that were in the in their house underneath the large roof, their clay bias up to the roof. People on the small roof cannot bring from their apartment under the small roof vessels onto their roof. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Hagadol mutar lahachnis lo klei bayis shelamata, v'ein b'nei koton oisrin olav. We said that the people living under the large roof can bring their vessels, that were their house vessels, to their rooftop, and the fact that there's a small roof with its owners living right nearby, they don't impose a restriction on the large roof. The legabi godol hach pirtzo pesachu. From the vantage point of the large roof, their opening into the small roof is viewed as a doorway or a passageway. In other words, it's not considered a porutz b'mlo'o, completely open. It's rather viewed as a pesach, a doorway or a passageway. And we say deshori b'gipufi, which the nature of it as being a passageway is characterized by the fact that it has gipufi. Gipufi are those, the jutting in part of the wall that's in the illustration, that's noted with the aleph. The shori means it is permitted or is made allowed by the fact that it has these gipufi. The cave on the Ena Pirtso Yoiser Me Eser, and since the opening from the large chotzer into the small chotzer is not more than 10 amos, it is considered a doorway, and as such, it's also considered sealed off. Not completely sealed off, but it's considered a separation, so that the fact that there's another domain opening into it does not affect it. Avokotan Osirlo, the Hotzi Clay Habayas. The small roof top is restricted from having the vessels in the house under it brought up to it. The Bnei Godol Asri Alei, the members of the Godol of the large roof, impose a restriction on the small roof. The Nifratz Lo Bimloyoi, the small roof is completely open into the large roof. V'divri HaKolhi, this halacha is in accordance with all Tanoim. The Afilu Rabbi Meir Lo Omar Gagin Rishus Achas Ela LeKelim Shishovsu B'Sochan. Even Rabbi Meir, who said that all rooftops are considered one domain and you can carry from one roof to another, that is only with regard to vessels that were on the roofs at the entrance of Shabbos. Ela Avo LeKelim Shishovsu B'Botim Lo. But as far as vessels that were in the houses at the onset of Shabbos, Rabbi Meir never said that they can be moved. Dumyo de chotzer ktana shenifritzo ligdola. Similar to the case of the small chotzer that's open completely into the large chotzer. De lukuli almo chatzerus rishus achas hein. Everyone agrees that courtyards are considered one domain. Uliinin kleha botim osra gdola aktana. But with regard to house vessels, the large courtyard imposes a restriction on the small courtyard. We turn back to the Mishnah, case number 2, and this is also illustration 44. Chotzer gedolo shenifritzo liktana, a large chotzer that opens into a small chotzer. Gedolo muteris uktana asura, the large chotzer is mutter to bring vessels from the houses that opened into it, if of course it made an eruv with its houses, and that allowance is not impeded by the fact that you have a chotzer ketana that opens into the gedola. Bibnei shi kepischa shel gedola. The small chotzer is viewed as part of an entranceway of the large chotzer. So, as we said before, the wall from the large chotzer vantage point is not considered broken open completely into the small chotzer, but rather it's viewed as a passageway, and therefore it has the characteristics of a wall separating them. Before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at our topic heading, the Nosei. Lama Katoni Shnei Dugmaos Shel Shetach Katon HaPorutz LeGadol. Why do we have these two examples of a small area that opens into a large area? We have the case of, one, the Gag, and two, the Chotzer. Before we go further in the Gemara, there is a note that we want to make, and that is, we're going to see very shortly the opinions of Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara doesn't elaborate too much in stating their opinions, but rather is basing itself on the fact that we've learned previous sukkis with Rav and Shmuel. So it's important for us just to review. Shitas Rav is that there only when you have recognizable walls do we apply the concept of good asik mechitzta. That is a concept that we've seen often already in Maseches Eruvin. It's the concept that states that a wall can rise from a lower point to a higher point. This concept of good asik mechitzta, an illustration of that in the case of mechitzta on Ikeris would be a building that has a surrounding wall. Obviously it's a building, so it has an outer wall, and while you're standing on the roof, so there isn't any wall necessarily around the roof, but from a halachic standpoint we can speak about a rising wall that rises from the building up to surround the roof as well. And that is because by standing at the edge of the building you can see the wall of the building, you by just bending over looking downwards. That's a mechitza hanikeres. However, in the case of, let's say, two apartments that are underneath a roof, and there's a wall separating the apartments, and you have an interest in having the apartment wall rise up through the roof. While you're standing on the roof, though, you can't see that dividing wall between the two apartments. So Shitas Rav is that kind of wall cannot rise above the roof to form a separation between apartments. Shitas Shmuel goes further than that and says that if in the direction of leniency, if you will, that good asik mechitza applies even when the walls are not recognizable. So now the Gemara. Loma le misni tarti. Why did the Tana have or teach these two examples? The example of the Gag, of a Gag cotton opening to a Godol, and a Chotzer cotton opening to a Godol. The Gemara answers, L'rav kotoni gag dumya de chotzer. According to Rav, the Mishnah teaches the case of the gag paralleling it to the case of the chotzer. Ma chotzer minkura mechitzta. Just like in the case of a courtyard, the wall is recognizable. Af gag nami minkura mechitzta. So too, with regard to the rooftop, we say that if the gag juts out beyond the walls of the house, if the gag extends beyond the walls of the house, then we will not be able to say good asik. take a look at illustration 45. This is an illustration of a roof jutting out beyond the walls of the house. Notice the difference between that and, let's say, illustration 43, where the roof doesn't jut out beyond the walls of the house. And it should be important, it should be noted, in illustration 43, there appears to be a fence around the top of the roof. We should view it as if it's not actually there, but that would be a function of the good asik mechitza. After the walls of the house rise, it would form what you see in 43. However, in 45, at the top of page 201, that cannot take place, according to Rav. So that in order for us to speak about the Gipufi and the Chotzer Gedola being mutter, because of those Gipufi, it would have to be that the house walls are recognizable, just like chotzer walls are recognizable. But if you had a situation where the roof jutted out over and beyond the house walls, so then we couldn't say that the chotzer or the gag godol would be mutter, because we don't have the Pesach formed by the Gipufi. Ule Shmuel, we continue in the Gemara, Ule Shmuel, according to Shmuel, the Mishnah teaches both of these cases. And again, Shita Shmuel holds that we say good asik mechitza even in a case like 45. He doesn't need mechitzas hanikoros. So what do we gain by having the case of the Gag taught together with the case of Chotzer? So he says, Gag dumya de Chotzer. Ma Chotzer de Kodarsi lo Rabim. Af Gag nami de Kodarsi lo Rabim. Just like a Chotzer is something that is trampled by the public, so too, the case of the Gag, that which we taught in the Mishnah, that the Gag Ketana is Osir, it's also only because the wall between the Ketana and the Gedola, it's invisible, but it happens to be trampled upon. People are walking between the Gag Godol and the Gag Koton. It's because of their walking between them that we don't allow good Asik Mechitzta to take place. And as a result of the inability of good asik mechitzta, so the ketana is osir. However, if, let us say, no one was walking on that roof, there was no trampling, then even the gag koton would be allowed, because we would say the wall separating the two apartments rises, forming a division between the two roofs, and the chotzer gedola would not be a source of prohibition on the chotzer, on the gag hakoton, the small roof. But it's only because of darsi borabim do we say that the ketana is osir. Let us continue now in the Gemara. Yosef Rabo v'Rabbi Zeiro v'Rabo bar Rav Chonon v'Yosef Abayi Gabayu. We have three Rabbonin plus Abaye. It's important that we set things up like that in anticipation of the Sugya on Omid Beis. V'Yasvi v'Ko'amri. The three Rabbonin that we noted, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, they said, Shma mino mimas nisin. We learn from the Mishnah, diure gedola baktano. The ain diure ktano bagdola. That means that the gedola, the large area, draws into it the small area. Diure are literally the dwellers. In other words, the dwellers of the small area drawn into the large area. And we don't say that the small area draws into it the large area, because most of the large area is closed off from the small area. But it's sort of like a one-way mirror idea, that this drawing action takes place in one direction. Once again, the large area draws into it, so to speak, the people in the small area, but the people in the small area don't draw into it people in the large area. This sounds a little bit abstract, but the Gemara will illustrate this in using practical terms. Before going on in the Gemara, a very important word of structure is necessary here. Our hope is that you have Omid Beis available as well as we present this introduction. You'll notice a double star in parentheses, and there's a note on the margin of the Gemara, and we've written the following. Shmoseim shel Rabbonim Elu, the names that we have here, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, Rabba, Rabbi Zera, and Rabba, Ba, Rav Honan. Yofiu b'Omid Beis, b'Simun, they will appear on Omid Beis, and they'll appear in a bow tie. B'Masa, Umaton, Imabaye. They will figure as part of a discussion, each one individually, in a discussion with Abaye. Before going further in the Gemara, we want to point out there's a Nosei and Mivneh heading that you can see on the other margin. And you notice there's a triangle featured. We should have pointed out that this discussion goes till Tzadi Gimel Omen Aleph. There, the triangle introduces five dugmos shel shetach hagodol moshech elov akotin v'lo ahefech. Five examples where this principle will be applied of the large domain drawing into it the small domain and not the other way around. So if you have, as we said, Omid Beis available, we're starting here at the bottom of Omid Aleph, you have the first triangle, and down almost halfway down Omid Beis, you'll see a total leading up of five cases. And all of these cases are stated in front of Abaye. When we get to the middle of Omid Beis, Abaye will speak up, and there will be a discussion. Each one of these opinions will speak up in response to Abaye's observation. So now the Gemara. Ketzad. Gifanim, the first topic deals with Kilayim. Kilayim is the prohibition of planting grains in a vineyard. Ketzad. Gifanim begdola. If you have vines in the large area. We spoke about a large chotzer, a large roof, whatever. It's an issue of a large area and a small area that open one into the other. You can see an illustration of this on page 201 page 201, illustration 46, Gifanim Begedola. You have vines growing in the large area. The Gemara goes on to say, Asur Lizra Esaktana. In your mind's eye, the Tana is in the large area. That's what we said before, that the large area draws to it the small area. Therefore, the large area is drawing into it the small area. The small area is considered part of the vineyard. And as such, there is a rule. You're not allowed to plant grains in a vineyard. V'im zora, zarin, asurin. And if you planted that small area with grains, those grains are usur. They're usur midin kilayim. You've in effect planted grains in an existing vineyard. Another case, Gifanim, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Gifanim Mutarim. I should say that's not the other case. Rather, it's a continuation of this point. We say that the grains are Asur, but the vines are Mutar. The Isur of Kilayim is your having planted the grains in a forbidden way. So having planted them in a vineyard, the grains become Asur. We now look at illustration 47 for the next case of Kilayim. Gifanim biktano mutar lizroa es hagdola. If you have vines growing in the small area, when you're standing in the large area, so it is considered blocked off from the small area, mutar lizroa es hagdola. You can plant the large area. Let's take a look at Rashi at the top. Gifanim biktana mutar lizroa segdola lechatchila. As a first choice, you can plant the grains in the large area. The legabi gdola pischa. From the gdola standpoint, it's considered an entrance. The chol pesach kemechitza. An entrance is also considered like a fence. Even next to, right up to that transfer point or entrance point, you could plant grains. In a case of a vineyard and a grain field, if there is a fence between them, you can plant the two varieties right up to the fence. And when the zroim grow, even though we say that the diure gedola are draw into it the ktana, ain osur nesakfanim. The grains don't aser the gefanim. The Amar b'Menachos Perek Sheni, ma'isa bechot shezor asa kerem shechaviro, or bo ma'isa lefnei chacham v'osur asuzroim v'tiru asakfanim. There was a case there in feature Maseches Menachos of someone who planted grains in his friend's vineyard. And the case came to the attention of the Chumim, and they banned the grains, and were matir the gefan of Yomar Mai Taimo, and they said, why is it? Kanvis faluf osra toro, shar zroim midrabonon asiri. Hach de lo ovad isura, lo konsu rabonon. The one who did not do the iser is the one who is not fined. Hacha nami. Here to an hour case, hoyul ukshazar segdola, when in this case when he planted the gedola with the grains, beheter zora, he planted beheter, afilu shtehem shelo, even if both areas belong to him, leko lemiknese, there is no reason for imposing a fine. The kol shekein im ktana shelacherim ugefanim shelo kodmu, and certainly if the small area belonged to others and the vines had been there ahead of time. So to go over this last point, when the vines were there, they were there first, and they happened to be in the large area sucks into it, so to speak, the small area, and therefore the small area is considered part of the large area, and you're not allowed to plant, therefore, in the small area, grains, because that would be tantamount to planting the grains in the vineyard. However, if the vines were in the small area, and you now come to plant the large area, your planting in the large area is not considered prohibited, because in this case we say that the fence blocks the two off from one another. This sukkah still needs explanation, because in light of what we said, that the small, that the large area draws into it the small area, how is it in fact that if the vines were in the small area first, yet I'm allowed to plant the grains in the large area? So we'll find a wonderful explanation in the Tosfos, there's a star in the Tosis, in the narrow lines of the Tosis, a circled star, and there we pick up with the Nira L'Ri, L'Faresh, Taimo D'Shmaitzin. The explanation of this sukya, Mishum D'Shem G'dola Al Haktano, V'Ein Shem Tano Al Hagdolo. We say that the characteristic or the title of the large one is imposed on the small one, and yet however, in the opposite direction, the name or the characterization of the small one is not imposed on the large one. Ulahachi, and therefore, Gifanim Begedola. Once we say that there are vines in the large area, Havi Shein Keren Al Haktana, the classification of a vineyard applies to the small area. The Afagav the Ein Gifanim Biktano, even if there are no vines in the small area, Osur Lizor O, you cannot plant grains there. The Rachmona Kopid Al Shein Keren. The Torah is concerned, and it will say imposes a prohibition with regard to something that's classified as a vineyard. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Lo Yisizra Karmecho Kilayim, thou shalt not plant your vineyard in a mixed fashion. Kilayim being mixing the grains with the vines. Here we have to note very specifically, what does the Torah prohibit? It prohibits planting one's vineyard with another variety. Aval, Gifane Biktana, when you have vines in the small area, the vineyard, so to speak, is in the small area, Mutu Lizroa Bagadola, you can plant grains in the large area, Af Algav Dechshizreno Yeshem Sode Al Haktana, Even though when you plant the large area with grains, so then the Shem Sode, the Sode being a field as opposed to a vineyard, the Shem Sode will be imposed on the Kitana. Ein Lochush, that is not something to be a cause of restriction. The Rachmona Lo Kopet Ashem Sode, the Torah doesn't impose a restriction on that which is classified as a field. The halok siv, the pasuk does not say sodecha lo sita kerem. It doesn't say that your sodeh, you shall not plant it as a vineyard. The havei mashma, that would have implied the kopid ashem sodeh, that the Torah is restrictive or is concerned with that which is called a sodeh, a field. However, that's not the case. So that it's important to know what the large one is classified as. If the large one is classified as a vineyard, and then the smaller is sucked into it, so to speak, legally, so you can't plant the grains in the small area because you are in effect planting grains in an existing vineyard. However, when the large area is a sodeh, and you have vines in the small area, the Torah doesn't say that you cannot plant a sodeh with vines. And that's why that case would be allowed. Let us now continue in the Gemara. The next case, the second triangle, involves the divorce of a woman, and that's accomplished by having a divorce document, put into the possession of the woman. We speak about putting into her possession. Obviously, the ultimate would be handing the get to her, putting it in her hand. However, the Gemara in Gittin elaborates that this concept of being in her domain and an effective divorce taking place applies not only when you put it into her hand, but even if you put it into her domain. Therefore, Isha Begdola, Veget Begtana. Let's say both of these areas are owned by the woman, and she's in the large area, and the husband throws the divorce document into the small area. Misgareshes, she is thereby divorced. We say that the large area where the woman is draws into it the small area where the get is. So the get is in effect being thrown to where the woman is. However, the opposite is not the same. Isha b'ktana v'get b'gdola, where the woman is in the small area and the get is in the large area, eino misgareshes, she does not become divorced. We don't say that the get draws unto it the woman. And since the get is in the large area, so the drawing power is not going to work to create a divorce. Let's take a look at the Rashi on the toward the end of the narrow lines. Eino misgareshes, the gedola lav boser ktana ozla. The large area where the get is not subsidiary to the small area where the woman is. The get lo koni leisha, the divorce document doesn't acquire the woman. The name or that we should be able to say nishti isha boser get, that the woman is sent following the divorce document. The isha lo bayo la miknigita, the woman is not designed to acquire a divorce document. So, since she's not designed to be part of the divorce document, by throwing it, the divorce document, in the large area when she is in the small area, she will not be divorced. Continuing in the Gemara with case number 3. This case deals with a congregation and a Shliach Tzibur. Shliach Tzibur is the one who leads the prayers. And in the time of the Gemara, it was common for the Shliach Tzibur to recite the certain passages, and the Tzibur, the congregation, would listen and would be Yotze. Now, and fulfill their requirement with what the Shliach Tzibur is saying. Therefore, Tzibur b'gedola u'shliach Tzibur b'ktana. And by the way, when we said in the time of the Gemara, there are many examples of things where you need a Shliach Tzibur even today to be motzi, to enable the congregation to fulfill their obligations. It certainly is in the case of the Torah reading. So if you have the congregation in the large area, Tzibur b'gdoilu, Shliach Tzibur b'ktana, and the Shliach Tzibur is in the small area, and he is saying whatever needs to be said to exempt the people in the large area, Yotzin Yedei Choyvason, they fulfill their requirement. The large area being in control, so to speak, or drawing into it the small area, so the Shliach Tzibur, he is their agent, he is their emissary, so he is drawn into where they are. However, the other way around won't work. Tzibur b'ktano, shliach tzibur b'gdola, ein yoytzen yedei choyvason. If you have the congregation in the small area and the shliach tzibur in the large area, they won't be yotze. Rashi explains on the second line under the Gemara, ein yoytzen, the hashto lo shayach basrayhu. In that case where the tzibur is in the small area, the Shliach Tzibur, who's in the large area, doesn't follow them. The Tzibur de Kaim B'Ktana lo Motzin Lemeimar de Shaychi Basrei, the Ruba Bosar Chad lo Mishtedu. Here, this is the main point in the Rashi. We don't say that the majority, the large group, follows, that they're sucked into where a singular person is. So that even though halachically speaking, the large area sucks into it the small area, that's not the case where in the small area you have the tzibur itself. In other words, you have this ruba boser chad factor overrules or overrides the drawing power of the large area. Continuing in the Gemara, this deals with the creation of a what we call a minyan, or of a tzibur of 10 people. In English, it's sometimes referred to as a quorum. Tisha b'gdola v'yochid b'ktana mitstarfin. If you have the majority of the required 10, you have the 9 people in the large area and the 10th person in the small area, so mitstarfin, they join together. Tisha b'ktana v'yochid b'gdola ein mitstarfin. But the other way around, it does not work. And this follows the principle we saw in the previous example of Ruba Bosur Chad lo Mishtadu. The majority doesn't follow where the individual is. The last case, case number 5, involves the proper environment for the recitation of Kriyas Shema, and something that would render the area inappropriate would be the presence of tzoa, our feces or dung, waste matter, bodily waste matter. Tzoa begedola osur likros Kriyas Shema begtana, if there is waste in the large area. So if you are standing in the small area, you cannot say Kriyas Shema, because the small area is drawn into the large area, and as such, you are then part of where the tzoa is. However, tzoa b'ktana mutu likros Kriyas Shema b'gdola. If the tzoa is niktana, so we don't say that the ktana draws you into where the tzoa is. And as far as the gedola is concerned, you are located in the gedola, and there is a mechitza between you and the tzoa. And that is what you will find in the Rashi. He says, Mutar likros Kriyas Shema begdola, the gabi gedola, vis-a-vis the gedola where you are located, kemechitza, it's like a wall, v'lo motzi ktana nekakula lo b'shum idi, the small area where the tzoa is cannot ruin your domain. We continue in the Gemara with a topic heading on the side and a structural note. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's glance at the side under the Nosei. We're going to be exposed to Abaye. Tainus Abaye. Abaye is going to make the claim. Lo yitochein matziv shel toisefes isur beglal sheyesh mechitza. It's impossible to imagine, because you've added a wall, that creates prohibition. Kfi ma sheharabonim omru bedugmo rishona, as was implied in the first example. The first example dealt with the gefanim and the zroyim. And that implied by the fact that we have a mechitza, so a mechitza entity, namely the point of demarcation between the small area and the large area, that we're going to refer to as a mechitza. We haven't spoken up till now about the details of the Hilchos Kilayim, and when we speak about details, we're talking about the necessary amount of distance that one must maintain one from the other. But if you have, let us say, a vine and a vineyard in an open area, and you have grains that you want to plant near them, if there is no fence around the area, it's just a totally open area, so the required distance is 4 amos. That's all that you have to distance yourself from a vineyard when you want to plant grains. Distance yourself 4 amos, and that's enough. However, in our fenced areas, large and small, we are not going to make any mention of 4 amos, but we're going to say that a restriction is imposed on a much larger distance. In other words, the distance between the, let us say, the grains you might want to plant in the small area and the vines in the large area might be much more than 4 amos, and yet you will not be allowed to plant the grains in the small area. So what Abaye is noticing here is, by virtue of the fact that you have a mechitza situation, there is now greater restriction than had these areas been an open area without any form of mechitza or enclosure. So this idea preoccupies Abaye. Structurally, we will be using a house marking that appears in in alternating directions. So on the side under the Mivneh, you'll notice a house with the point facing upwards. Divrei Abaye, that's Ta'anoso, that represents his claim. And as the house form with the roof facing up appears in the succeeding lines of the Gemara, all of those upward facing houses represent Shuvos of the Rabbonim. That's Abaye's responses to what the Rabbonim are going to say to him. So the upward facing house represents Abaye throughout the Sugya. The inverted house are Kushos HaRabbonim LeAbaye. These are going to be questions the Rabbonim pose to Abaye. When we speak about the Rabbonim, remember on Omid Aleph we noted the bow tie in our note on the side, saying that the Rabbonim that we saw already, the Aleph Beis and Gimel Rabbonim at the bottom of Tzadi Beis and Aleph, will be appearing in this discussion, and they all appear in bow ties. We might want to note that there will be more than just those three Rabbonim in the upcoming sugya that continues on to Tzadi Gimel Omid Aleph. We'll note that when we get to it. So we just got finished saying that the inverted houses represent the responses or questions that the other Rabbonim raise on Abaye. And an inverted house will appear, and a double underline will appear, Shekein Moitze Mechitza Le'iser, that which was bothering Abaye shouldn't bother him, because we in fact do find examples of what Abaye claimed was a mechitza le'isur, that you can't have a mechitza le'isur, and yet we will show that you can have a mechitza, a division that as a result of it creates prohibition and restriction. And as we may have noted already a couple of times, the bow tie appears, and we note Shemos Rabbonim Hamakshim al Abaye, Rubam Hofiu Besof Amid Aleph. The majority of these Rabbonim that are going to be asking on Abaye appeared already by name on Omid Aleph. However, as if you have Tzadi Gimel available, you'll notice that we'll see Rava appearing on the upper part of Tzadi Gimel Aleph. He has a dashed bow tie because he did not appear earlier, but he figures in the same scheme of things as asking on Abaye. So our hope is that we've mapped out the sugya so that we can now go on to the details. Omar Lahu Abaye. Abaye says to the Rabbonim that presented the five cases, Im Kain, according to what you have said, especially when you focus on case number one, Motsinu Mechitza Le'isur. We have found that the presence of something we classify as a Mechitza, the divider between the large Chotzer and the small Chotzer, we found it, the fact that there's a mechitza imposing a restriction, shil mole a mechitza, if there would be no mechitza there, it was just a question of an open area where you happen to have a series of vines growing, you can call that a vineyard, there are no fences whatsoever in the area, marchi dalen amos vizorea, all you have to do is distance yourself 4 amos and you can plant the grains, viluhashto asura, but now when you have a vineyard in the large area and you have a small area as we illustrated with the fence around it and the gipufi, Asura, the small area, will be prohibited in planting grains, even if it's at a much greater distance than a mere 4 amos from the vines. So Abaye comes up with this objection that how could it be that because of a mechitza, you have created a greater restriction? Omar Le Rabbi Zera. Le'abaye. Rabbi Zera addresses Abaye and says, "Below Motzinu Mechitza Le'isur, do we not find this phenomenon? V'hotnan, we have in our Mishnah." And we spoke about our Mishnah, the issue of Hilchus Eruvin, Eruv Chatzeros, and our Mishnah taught, Chotzer Gedoyla Shenifritzo Liktana. A large Chotzer that opens into a small Chotzer, Gedola Mutera Suktana Asura. The Gedola is allowed in having the house vessels underneath brought up to the houses opening into it can bring their vessels into the chotzer. Uktano asura, the small courtyard is prohibited in this. The allowance of the large chotzer is because it does not open completely into the small chotzer, because it's considered an entranceway. However, in the small chotzer, it is restricted because it opens completely into the large chotzer. It's called Porutz B'muloya L'makoma Aserla. Ve'ilu Hishva Es Gi Pufeha. If you were to look in illustration 52, which you will find on page 202, if you did that, in other words, you created a straightaway between the Chotzer Gdol and the Chotzer Ktana, if you, by making this mechitza, by making this, we'll call this new mechitza that we call Beis, in the illustration, the caption reads, Mechitza Shebona B'socha Gdola. That's Hishva Eski Bufeha. You literally, you leveled out, you made a straightaway. Hishva means something that's straight. You made a straightaway between the small and the large Chotzer where the Gipufim no longer play a role. Nami Asura, the Gdola, Nami Asura, the large Chotzer will also be restricted in carrying from its houses into it. So what do we see? We see the creation of a Mechitza imposes additional restriction. So why is Abaye bothered by the Kilayim case, as the triangle number one case? Amale, Abaye responds. And you notice how the house is, again, point facing up. As we said before, these represent Abaye's responses. He says, that's not a case of creating a mechitza. Hasam siluk mechitzos hu. There, in effect, you are removing a mechitza. This ladder thing that you built, the second thing that you built, removes the effect of the first mechitza. This is different than the case of the planting, the triangle number one case, because there the original gipufim of the large area beyond the small area, you're adding over there. That adding created the iser. Here, it's a case of siluk. You're removing original mechitzos. So, therefore, Abaye maintains his position that how could it be that by adding a mechitza, you add restriction? Omar le rabo le Abaye. Rabo comes up again with the same type of objection to Abaye's point. He says, "V'lo motzinu mechitza le'iser." Do we not find the case of a mechitza creating a restriction? V'ho itmar. We have the following case: Sikech al gabi achsadro shiyesh lo ptzimin shera. This is illustrated in illustration 53 at the top of page 203 in the Pirush Chai, and we're using Rashi's pshat. Tosfos has a different pshat; he has a very strong argument, but we're going to use Rashi's pshat for our Gemara markings shir. You can see there two walls, two existing walls. Rashi's pshat, they're two parallel walls. Tosfos, he appears in picture 55, but let's try not to confuse things. 53 of two parallel walls, and in addition to that, you also have ptzimin. These are upright poles that you can see are illustrated in 53, the Aleph. If you put schach over the top, you put the standard sukkah covering over the top, you have a kosher sukkah. That's sikech agabi achsadro shiyesh lo ptzimin kshera. The ptzimin will represent the third wall that's necessary for a sukkah. So you have the two existing walls and the ptzimin constituting the third wall. The ilu hishva ptzimeha psula. This you can see, this hishva is illustration 54. So you added a mechitza, that's the new mechitza, the beis, so that you don't have the benefit of the the semen jutting out from the original wall, serving as the third wall. You've covered it up, so to speak, by building a mechitza. Omar Lei Abaye. Abaye responds to Rabba and says, L'didik Shera, as far as I am concerned, this is kosher, because you have something called Pi Tikra Yored V'Sosein. This you can see, Pi Tikra is the edge of the roof. You can see this illustrated in 53. There is a Pi Tikra, and that continues to be a working entity in 54 as well. So that comes down, the edge of the roof comes down and seals up. And that will form the necessary third wall. Lididcha, according to you who are trying to use the case of Sikech Agav Yachsadra as a problem for me, it's not a problem, even according to your approach, because Siluk Mechitzos, that's the removal of the Mechitzos. You removed the Ptzimim. There was an original wall that formed by the Ptzimim. Again, we say wall, it's a legal idea. It's maybe one tefach, but it constitutes the third wall. By building these, what you see in 54, this bays, this new wall, you're removing an original wall. That's different than the case of Triangle 1, where it's the original wall that created the restriction, and that's what Abaye says, that just can't be. Omar le Rabo bar Rav Chonon le Abaye. Vahi too raises an objection to Abaye, says, V'lo motzinu mechitza leisur. What, we don't find the creation of a wall that imposes a restriction? V'ha Tanya, illustration 57. Illustration 57 is found on page 204. You're looking at a cutaway. You're looking at it from the side. You see a structure that has a roof to it, but the roof covers only half of it. It's called, and it's in this case, it's called a house. Bayis shechetzio mekoro, half of it has a roof over. Vechetzio eino mekoro, and half is not. Kefanim kan mutu lezroa kan. You have vineyard. You have a vineyard planted in the house under the roofed part, and then you have the open part. We're told you'll be allowed to plant grains there. The issue is a kilayim issue. It's actually quite relevant to illustration or case number one in the triangle that we had before. So in this case, by having it chetzio mekora, it's allowed. And then in 58, you see vilu hishva is kirio aser. You see that in illustration 58. If you continue the roof, you won't be able to plant the grains right up to where the vines were. You'll have to create a distance. So that's an additional restriction that I did not have. So by extending the roof, that's what we're saying is the extension of a mechitza, so to speak, you are imposing iser. So let's see the Gemara. V'ha Tanya, as we said, now you look at 57. Bayis shechetzu mekoro v'chetzu einu mekoro. Half is, mekoro means roofed, and half is open. Gefanim kan, mutu lizroa kan. If you have vines growing under the roofed part, you can plant grains under the open part, immediately next to it. Based on this concept of pitikro yorid v'sosin, the edge of the roof comes down and creates a division. And in the Hilchis Kilayim, we are interested in creating a break, a division. Vilu hishva es kiruya aser. However, if you even out the roof, you continue the roof to the end, you will create an isur, and under those circumstances, you won't be able to plant the grains right up to the vines, but rather you'll have to market yourself for amos, as you can see in illustration 58. Omar le Abaye responds, Hosom siluk mechitzos hu. Once again, that's an example of removing a mechitza. The pi tikra that you originally had, that was your system, by extending you, if you've removed the pi tikra. Sholach le rovo la abaye. We pointed out earlier that this dashed bow tie is simply because he was not one of, Rava was not one of the Rabbonim that appeared at the bottom of Tzadi Beis Omen Aleph, but it's the same theme here of Rava showing that we do find Mechitza the Isser. We should also note that Rava's comment is a long comment, and we've marked it off accordingly. Following Rava's long comment, Abaye will respond also with a long comment. So that even though our shir is in the context of Daf Yomi, we are spilling over a bit to complete the trend of thought and the content of this sukkia. So the Gemara after shows Rava asking on Abaye, Sholach le Rava Abaye biyad Rav Shmaya Barzira. He sent his comment through Rav Shmaya. Volo matzino mechitza l'isur. Do we not find a mechitza imposing a restriction? Va'atanya. We have the following Tanaic source, and in order to appreciate this particular sukkia, you should use the Pirush Chai with the illustrations that he refers to. They are found in different places. So on page 204, you'll find references to the different illustrations that will be beneficial. So he says, the Gemara says, V'hatanya, Yesh b'mechitzas hakerem lahokel lahachmir. You have in the realm of fences, in the context of a vineyard, you have leniency and you have stringency. Ketzan. And the Gemara illustrates these, and that's what the diamond here introduces, the illustrations of the Lahokel and the Lahachmir. And the first is Lahokel. Ketzan. Kerem hanatua ad ikur mechitza. A vineyard that's planted till the edge of a wall, to the base of a wall. Zorea meikur mechitza veil. If you can plant immediately to the other side of the wall. This, the Pirush Chai tells you, is illustrated in illustration 49, found in the first perek. And page-wise, that could be found correction. That illustration is on page 23, illustration 143. 143 in the Pirush Chai, you see a vineyard on one side of a wall, and immediately on the other side you have a field of grains. The our Gemara continues. She'ilu ein shom mechitza, had there been no wall, marchik dalet amos v'zorea, you would have had to distance yourself 4 amos before you can plant grains. V'zehu mechitzos akerem lahokil. This is an example of a wall in a context of a vineyard that leads to a leniency. Ulahachmir ketzad, what about the restrictive type wall? Hoya moshuch min hakoisel yud aleph amo. Let's say you have a vineyard and it's 11 amos away from a wall. So you have a wall, and within the wall you have a vineyard. How far is the vineyard from the wall? 11 amos. This you can see illustrated in on page 202, illustration 49. What does the halacha say? Lo yovi zera lisham. You can't plant between the vineyard and the wall. You cannot bring any other variety, any grains. Shel moli ein mechitza. If there was no wall, marchik dalet amos vizorea. All you'd have to do is distance yourself 4 amos from the vines, and you could plant grains. Now that there is a wall, Vizuhi mechitzos hakerem lahachmir. Now that there is a wall, you cannot plant even though there's an 11 amo gap between the vines and the wall. Had there been no wall, just 4 amos distancing would have been sufficient. So Rava makes the point that you have a mechitza l'iser. Now Abaye responds, Amar lei. Abaye says back to Rava, Ulitameich, according to you that are trying to use the case of a vineyard and a walled area as a kasha on me, osvan mimasnisen. You could have, osvan is, you could have asked on me from a Mishnah source. Generally speaking, in Gemara markings and our Shulchan, we don't make distinctions between Brises and Mishnayos. We refer to them in general as Tanaic literature. However, from time to time, there is need to make a distinction. And here is one of those occasions. A Mishnah is considered a more authoritative source, so that if you want to ask a kasha, you want to ask a question on someone from a Tanaic source, and you have the option of asking on a particular statement based on, you can ask from a Braisa, based on a Braisa, or based on a Mishnah, you would, if to get more power out of the question, a more powerful question is one raised from a Mishnah source as opposed to a Braisa source. So Abaye here is telling Rav, if you really are so interested in asking on me from this vineyard issue, why don't you ask from a Mishnah? And what Abaye is basically doing, he's drawing fire, he's bringing Rava, he's bringing him in near for the punch, so to speak. He's going to say, well, you know, you could have asked your question from the Mishnah, and yet you didn't. And the reason you didn't is because of X, Y, and Z, which the Gemara will point out later. Therefore, you see that there is no basis for asking this question on me in the first place. So, at the end of this point that Abaye makes is that what I originally said stands as a problem. So Abaye says, as we just said, you could have asked on me Mimas Nisan from a Mishnah. Disnan. The Mishnah begins here, and this also is accompanied by illustrations. We'll refer to in two things in this source, something called a Korachas HaKerem and a Mechoil HaKerem. Disnan, Korachas HaKerem, when you have that phenomenon, which we haven't explained, you can see in the source there's underlined the expressions Ezui Korachas HaKerem and Ezui Mechoil HaKerem, two cases that will be illustrated by the source itself as we go on. You might want to have on hand pictures that are relevant to this. Again, there's a reference to the first parak, page 3. You'll see illustrations 15 and 16 that are relevant to this discussion. In illustration 15, you see what's called a Korachas HaKerem. You have a vine and an empty area within, in the middle. And illustration 17 will show us a Mechoil HaKerem. So the source, the Mishnah, goes on. Korachas HaKerem, Beishamayim Chof Dalet Amos, unless the area is 24 Amos, a square, you know, it's a 24 by 24, you cannot plant other things there. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Tes Zion Amo. You'd have to have an area of 16 by 16 Amos before you can plant something else over there in the middle. Mechoil HaKerem, Beis Shammai Omrim, Tes Zion Amo, Beis Hillel Omrim, Yud Beis Amo. Beis Shammai says you'd have to have 16 amos in the case of the Mechoil HaKerem, and before you can plant something else over there, and Beis Hillel says 12 amos would be sufficient. The Ezohi Korachas HaKerem, what is meant by that? Kerem Shechorav Emtsioso, a vineyard whose middle, the Emtsa, is chorev, is barren, is empty. Im Yeshom Tezayin Amo, if you have an area measuring 16 by 16 amos, in Ein Shom, if you don't have 16 by 16 amos in that middle area, lo yovi zera l'sham. This is, of course, according to Beis Hillel. Then you cannot plant other varieties in the middle. Im hoyu shom tes zayin amo, if you have an area measuring 16 by 16 amos, no sein lo kedei avodoso, you would then allow for four. Kedei avodoso is a measure which enables you to draw an ox with its cart around the perimeter of the vines, the inner perimeter of the vines, and that's an area of 4 amos. So you would make an allowance for 4 amos all around the inner perimeter, Vizoreya es hamosar, and that which is left you would be able to plant with another variety. Ezuhi mechoyol hakerem, what is meant by that? Bein hakerem lagoder. It's the area between the vines, the vineyard, and the surrounding wall. She'im ein shom yud beis amo lo yovi zera l'shon. Now here we've dashed, underlined this section. This is the main point for us. Here you have a case of a fence, and it says in the source that if you don't have 12 amos between the vines and the fence, you cannot bring another variety and plant it there. Hoyu shom yud beis amo, if there are 12 amos, then no sein lo kidei avodoso v'zorea es hamosar. You will distance yourself 4 amos from the vines. That's the kidei avoda shiur, and plant the rest. And plant the rest, you'll see, is not exactly, it's not literally plant the rest, because you're not going to want to plant right up to the wall either. However, you'll have enough room to plant other things if there's 12 amos between the wall and the vineyard. So what is Abaye saying? Listen, if you want to ask on me, here you have a case of offense. And because there's offense, in order to be allowed to plant another variety, you must have a 12 amo space. If there were no fence there whatsoever, all you'd have to do is distance yourself a mere 4 amos and plant your grains. Now, you didn't ask on me from that source. Elohosom, if in that case when you don't have 12 amos between the fence and the vines, lav hainu taimo, that the reason there is not a function of mechitza is not that case is not an example of a mechitza leiser, but rather elo dechol dalet amos, when you're speaking about 4 amos legabi kerem avodas hakerem, the 4 ama gap that you leave between the vines and the grains that you want to plant is because you need to have 4 amos for drawing your cart around. So that Rashi says, "V'kivan detzorich lo havi kerem atzmo." Those 4 areas, 4 amos, since they're needed for the kerem, that's considered as if you're planting in the middle of the vineyard. So that's off limits. That has nothing to do with the fence. That's simply part of the kerem itself. Legabi geder, the 4 amos that are from the wall inwards, the inner, from the wall. Measuring 4 amos from the inner edge of the wall toward the vineyard, kevon delo mizdar on afkuri mifkar lahu. Those 4 amos, a person isn't going to want to plant anything there because it will ruin the wall. If you were to, let's say, draw your plow around that area, it will weaken the wall, and therefore you don't plant that area. And you therefore renounce that area in favor of the wall. And it's as Rashi says, Afkuri Mifkalu Lagabi Gadu, you renounce it in favor of the wall, Veloy Mitstarfi Lahadi Hai De Payesh Lachshuvi De Lo Livtil Lagabi Kerem. It doesn't attach itself to the balance to have significance enough that it shouldn't become secondary to the kerem. So it's not considered part of our calculations, but rather it's considered part of the wall. The beini beini, the 4 amos that remain in the middle, or is the area in the middle, after I've subtracted 4 amos next to the vines, and the 4 amos next to the wall, we then say, e iko dalet hashifon, if you've got 4 amos, and that's the standard 4 amos, if you've got 4 amos, then it has, those 4 amos have significance in and of itself, and it could be planted. The iloi, if you don't have a balance of 4 amos, in other words, a middle 4 amos, then lo chashivan, it will have no significance, and it too will be considered botel to the vineyard, so to speak, and therefore you're not allowed to plant it. But what's Abaye's point here? Abaye's point is that this need of having 12 amos, which will enable you to have a middle 4 amos, after you accounted for 4 amos of kedei avodas hakerem and 4 amos for the wall, if you don't have those middle four amos, so it will be bottle, become so subsidiary, not having significance enough to plant it as a grain area. But this has nothing to do with the fact that a wall is built around it, that the wall creates an esor. The consideration of giving four amos next to the wall was simply for the benefit of the wall, but not that the wall imposed a halachic restriction per se. So at this point, we've basically come to the end of this give and take between Abaye and the Rabbonim, and Abaye is left with his problem of the mechitza le'isur, as was illustrated in the case of the large area and the small area and the gipufi, when we said that if you have vines in the large area, you are not allowed to plant grains in the small area, regardless of the distance between them. That bothered Abaye, and that remains at the end of this discussion. So before we conclude, let's just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.